This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is our discussion in today's surah, the 47th surah of the Quran, a Medinan surah called Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As if all of the previous surahs that make mention of the Anbiya, or surahs which are entitled by names of the messengers of the Anbiya, that is all a prelude to the build-up to speak about the most favourite or the best or the seal of prophethood. Thus you find numerous references or inferences inside the Qur'an that all of the messengers who existed before came to testify to his truthfulness or to prophesy the coming of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Thus we find in a hadith as narrated by Abu Hurairah in Sahih Bukhari, in the Manaqib of Khatimun Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about the virtues and the blessings of the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned inside his hadith, "Inna mathali ka mathal anbiya'i qabli," my parable and the parable of the prophets who came before me, "ka mathali rajulin bana baytan," is like the example of a person who built a house, built a great big palace, and everything inside this building is beautiful, is complete. "Illa labina wahidatan," except for one brick is missing. Everything in this building is complete, but one brick is missing. And people are saying, if only this one brick had been slotted in its place, then this building would have been complete. And that is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That is a seal of prophethood. He completes the building of what was established before of all of the Anbiya, all the messengers came before. He beautifies that house, completes the house, and completes paradise as well. Because we know that the gates of paradise won't open until he arrives there. And the angels, they are waiting there for the arrival of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he will be given the ultimate permission. Doors will be open for him, and then the ultimate intercession will be granted to him. But prior to that, he will show his obedience of praising and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we find. And that's inside this surah, you find this context is quite clear. That it's not just about a prophet of mercy and compassion that many times that we've spoken about. There's also another side of the Prophet alayhi salam that many of us have forgotten about his life. The striving and struggling. That's why many ulama have called this surah, as Ibn Kathir, Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir, don't just call it Surah Muhammad. They call it Suratul Qital. The surah of physically fighting. There's a difference between al-jihad and al-qital. Logatan wa shar'an. That some of us begin to overlap these two terminologies. Jihad is a general struggle that we find. The Quran is quite unique and precise when it speaks about fighting. It uses qatl, al-qital, speaks clearly about it. So people can't hide behind terminology and say, no, this means jihad. It doesn't mean that. It means a physical combat warfare that exists inside the Quran and highlights to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that he has to strive against them. When in the Meccan period that we find, وَجَاهِدٌ بِهِ جِهَادٍ كَبِيرًا, strive against them by the use of the Quran. And then later on, وَحَرِّدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى الْقِتَالِ, inspire the believers in Medinan phase that we find. Thus it's important to read the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the first 13 years in the Meccan period, being passive, being tacit, overlooking certain things, and then the 10 years inside Medina, the Medinan civilization. Thus read these surahs, Surah Muhammad, the 47th surah, then the following surah, Al-Fath, the 48th surah, then Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th surah. These are all Medinan surahs. And the crux of all these surahs is the establishment of the Islamic society. It's not just going to come how some of us think, just going to be some fair game, fair preaching. There's going to be moments of difficulties. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be moments whereby we have to override our nafs and accept certain teachings that exist inside the Quran. Not to overcome them, not to place our hands over them, not to shy away from them, say these passages don't exist inside the Quran, or these passages don't mean this inside the Quran, or this wasn't the way of the Prophet alayhi wasalam. He highlighted clearly that my rizq, my sustenance has been placed underneath my spear. It's been placed underneath my spear. What is the context? What does that mean? That there's going to be moments where he strove and he struggled. 28 battles that he participated in or he sent out is the seerah of the Prophet alayhi wasalam that we need to read inside our lives and read the meaning of the Quran to understand this focus of the Prophet alayhi wasalam. Just like we read, as we spoke about Surah Al-Mudathir, Surah Al-Muzammil, Surah Al-Duha, Surah Al-Sharh, all speaking about the Prophet alayhi wasalam. in the Meccan phase. Now read the surahs in the Medinan phase, how they describe the Prophet ﷺ that we find. So this surah has two basic themes. As we mentioned, either the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, or Al-Qital. Both of these are the main two themes inside this surah that we find. The time of revelation is surah. Ulama of Ulum al-Quran have mentioned it's either straight after Badr and just before Uhud. So the whole context helps us to understand when we read these ayat, what is taking place. Straight after Badr and the build-up of Uhud that we find, that once again they have to return back to the battlefield, and some people are going to pose these questions. Just like in today's world, people ask these questions. Why has Allah written qital upon us? Why is fighting written upon us? Why is hijab written upon us? Why is prayer written upon us? Why is this written upon us? That's the common question that we find, not from atheists or people who reject God, from amongst Muslims, ask these questions. Even basic, elementary questions. Why is there 5 daily prayers? Why do we have to pray? Why should we pray? Why can't I pray in the way I want to pray? Or how I understand is proximity and closeness to God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what this society does. It infiltrates our mind, our perception, of those things which are crystal clear inside the Quran, that even practicing Muslims, they find it offensive. They find it offensive that if a person says something about this is the law of Allah, they go to another extreme. No, this person maybe speak about rebelling against governments and regimes and people. See what the kuffar have done? What they've instilled in our mind? That the minute you speak about the law of Allah, you take it to the opposite extreme. That this person may be a rebellious individual. He's making takfir al-hukam. He's rejecting the leaders. He's speaking out against the leaders. This is what they call brainwashing inside our brains. That's what they've done. So at the minute a sermon says that we should rule by the book of Allah, Muslims go to the extreme. And that's what they've done, instilled in our mind. We should all be working towards the context of that the belief of a Muslim, in al-hukmu illa lillah. The hukum belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hukum here is clear, is explicit. Of governance, of ruling, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that every time that we should be preaching about this, but it should be in the back of our mind that the real essence of change inside our society is that when the hukam, when the sultan, but that's what many ulama mentioned, مَا يَتَخَيْرِ بِيَدِ السُّلْطَانِ لَمْ يَتَخَيْرِ بِيَدِ الْقُرْآنِ. That which can be changed by the hand of the sultan cannot even be done by the Qur'an. What does that statement mean? It means that when a person in the physical power believes in the Quran, they can have a great big impact in changing society. That's what it means. Just reciting the Quran won't change society. Memorizing the Quran won't change society. These are all good things, don't get me wrong. We should be doing these things. But the ultimate goal of the Quran that many ulama tafsir have spoken about, as we mentioned many times, what do they entitle their works of tafsir? Ahkamul Quran. Rules and injunctions and regulations of the Quran. Why do they title their books Ahkamul Quran? How will it come back? How is it going to be plausible? Let's just become passive, tacit individuals in society and just turn a blind eye to everything. There's a struggle. It's not just about creating wealth inside society. They speak about generation wealth. Generation wealth means that the wealth carries on. It's not just temporary that we just live for today, gather some wealth for today and that's it. It's generation wealth. It goes from generation to generation. That's what knowledge and ilm is should be, generation knowledge. Is preparing, equipping for tomorrow. Equipping ourselves for tomorrow, what's going to take place. And inspiring ourselves inside this. When that inspiration is lost, then we become what we're facing on the face of this downtroddenness that we continuously face inside our lives. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَضَلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. It's the only surah that Allah begins with الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, that those who disbelieve. The only other time inside the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, where Allah addresses the disbelieving individuals about their disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes straight into the topic to speak about these individuals. وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They prevent people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَضَلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Allah has made their actions to be wasted, to not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. كَفَّرَ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَأَصْلَحَ بَالَهُمْ. And then it speaks about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, those who believe and carry out righteous actions. وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ, and they believe in that which was sent down upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. You find inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala normally speaks as Ar-Rasul, Al-Nabi. But four places inside the Quran, Allah speaks in the past tense. In the third person tense, speaks about, uses the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once inside this surah and three other places inside the Quran. And he uses the name Ahmad inside Surah Saf. If you study all these locations inside the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Prophet alayhi wasallam, in the following surah, inside Surah Fat, Allah mentioned, speaking about Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعُوا أَشِدَّعُوا الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ that we find. Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعُوا أَشِدَّعُوا الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Those who are with him and around him, they are stern and harsh towards the disbelievers and merciful and compassionate towards the believing individuals. Inside Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of Quran, Muhammadur Rasulullah, we find, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ. Sorry, inside Surah Al-Imran. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ رُسُلٌ. Who is Muhammad except for a messenger? And many messengers, they came before him. If he is to be slain or he is to be killed, are you going to turn back on your heels? Are you going to turn away from the message of the Prophet ﷺ? And so Surah Al-Ahzab that we find, the Prophet Muhammad is not a father of any man amongst you. Look at this revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of his sons lived. The Quran prophesizes he's never going to be the father of any man. He only had four daughters. Three of them, they died in his lifetime, and Fatima died 6 months after the death of the demise of the Prophet ﷺ. That's prophecy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he doesn't control his life. He wept about it, losing his sons, losing his daughters during his life, three of his daughters. You know, that's why you read about his personality, that you see the striving, the struggling, the hardship, the difficulties he went through. You have to conclude, just as in Surah Al-Ahzab, is nothing but praise of the Prophet ﷺ. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. In his conduct, his behavior, for you to emulate, to copy. He never crumbled in his life. He had moments inside his life as a human being. At those moments, he may have reflected, he wept, he cried, he thought about it. But you know, deep down inside his heart was Nur. A powerful Nur. A powerful light existed within him. That's why even in warfare, he never said to his companions, Fadhab antum, go you and your companions. فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا أُنَا قَائِدُونَ. You go and fight. We're going to stand here, remain here. That's what Bani Israel, they said to Musa alayhi salam. He said, no, he went with his companions. He strove and he struggled with them. He was there with them at all times. You find when fighting became severe and harsh, companions would, what would they do? They would come behind the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. They would seek protection behind him. As Imam Tirmidhi, Shama'il Muhammadiyah mentions, he was given a strength of 30 men. And Ba'd al-Riwayat that we find some weak narrations go to extremity of 100 men. But ala qal shay 30 men, the strength of 30 men was given to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. When he wore his shield, when he wore his armor, he wouldn't back down. He wouldn't weaken. He wouldn't become a weak person, a weak individual. He would go out forthright. That's the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Read those narrations that describe him. When the companions heard a noise inside Medina and they came out to listen what the sound was, who was riding back? Riding a horse without a saddle. Was riding back and saying to his companions, be at peace, be at rest. Who was it? Is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. He never sent soldiers out to go and see what was taking place or what this harm was. He was himself. It was himself that he rode out to see what this commotion was. That's what you call true leaders, true statesmen, true people who have conviction in something. That's the benchmark we should be looking at, because around us, this world is fast crumbling around us. That's what the Quran mentioned. رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَهَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Read about Sifatul Rijal inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Ahzab and other places, Surah Al-Nur. Who are real men? Real men are those individuals with strong determination, strong focus inside their life, of achieving and want to achieve something and do something with their lives. And even if they don't make that achievement inside their lives, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They never change their desire. They never change their aspiration. Maybe obstacles came, but they never achieved that end result. But that aspiration, that inspiration inside their heart, it remained with them until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find, if you look at the context of all these ayat, as we mentioned, you could safely conclude the context of all these four ayat, which speak about Muhammad in the third person. They all speak about warfare. They all speak about striving and struggling. That's what these ayat are speaking about. And they're all establishing his prophethood. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're all establishing his prophethood. That's why it's very important to understand the context of ayat inside the Quran. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses certain words or mentions certain things. And this struggle inside this surah, Allah mentions, Ya yuladina amanu, in tansurullah yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. Raddul fi'l. You know, we just sit there. Change would happen like this. This will happen. That will happen. Or just let the boat flow. This is not the methodology of the Quran. Ya yuladina amanu, in tansurullah yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. If you help Allah, aid the deen of Allah. You make your effort. Allah doesn't need our efforts. But this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this on this earth. You do these actions. Allah will aid you, will help you. وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ And will make your heart, your feet firm on the ground. Establish your faith, establish your conviction. So the more that we weaken away from our faith, the more that we weaken away from practicing our faith, the more difficulties, obstacles that this Muslim ummah will continue to face. And these are the individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about these individuals. ذَلِكَ Or the way of it, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ The only way to gain this steadfastness is obey Allah and then obey the messenger. That's the only way to gain steadfastness inside our life. Obey the commandments inside the Quran and then obey the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا When you're following the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is the Mawla, Allah is the protector. فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرِ In another place inside the Quran. He's the best protector, the best aid, the best helper. You know, when you have Allah on your side, you have nothing to worry about. That's why today we're worried. We don't have Allah on our side. We don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our side because we deal in riba, we deal in alcohol, we deal in haram, we deal in all types of vices and sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically not on our side. That's how simple it is. But the more that we traverse on the path, on being on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will be in our aid. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhriju min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a wali, is a protector, is a friend of those who believe. He takes them out the realms of darknesses and he brings them to the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ And as for those who disbelieve, they have no protector. No aid or assistance to these individuals, they have no protector. Then Allah mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِي نَحْتَدَوْ زَادَمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ Those who strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who exert their efforts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them in guidance, وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ And grants them piety, grants them consciousness, devotion and commitment towards Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His guidance on earth. As we mentioned many times, the Quran doesn't leave us in this obsolete world that, you know, we just carry on doing these things. What is there for me? You know, the Quran uses the language that entices us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what He's created. Allah ya'lamu man khalaq wa huwa latiful khabir. Does not Allah know what He's created? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what He's created. And as He mentions, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ So now Allah mentioned that what is the Jannah He's promised for the muttaqoon, inspiration for us. That it's not all doom and gloom at the end. That you strive and struggle and what's going to be given to you, Allah gives these promises. وَمَنْ أَشْتَقُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَمَنْ أَشْتَقُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا Who's more truthful in speech than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah promises the pious individuals paradise, gardens, rivers. And those rivers Allah describes, فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِنْ مَاءٍ غَيْرِ آسِنٍ Four types of rivers are mentioned that are given inside paradise to the believing individuals. Uncontaminated water. Rivers of water, pure water, no contamination, no filth. You don't need a filter. You don't need something to purify that water. It's pure water that's going to be given inside paradise. Then Allah mentions, وَنْهَارٌ مِنْ لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيْرْ طَعْمُهُ And milk that doesn't become sour, or in easy words, doesn't go off. Pure milk is given inside paradise. وَنْهَارٌ مِنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ And rivers of wine. لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ A beautiful taste for those who drink it. We give it inside paradise. And then finally we find, وَنْهَارٌ مِنْ أَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى And then rivers of honey. Pure honey will be given. وَلَمْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ And then every type of fruits will be given to these individuals. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ And forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the beginning of the surah, Allah gives this ishara, وَيُدْخِلُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ We enter them into paradise that they know about it. As if to say that these believing individuals who are striving and struggling, they know what their end destination is, knowing what the reward is going to be. So as if they're just returning back home. They're returning back to what is our real home. As Allah mentioned, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. You're only on this earth for a small span of time. This is not our real home. So these individuals, they know. They know their gardens, they know their paradise, they know their home. So they're just making that journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this ultimate reward is given how? As Allah describes inside the surah, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مُتَقَلَّبَكُمْ وَمَثْوَاكُمْ. The greatest way to get to Jannah, to paradise. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Have knowledge that none has a right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Imam Sa'di highlights some 8 or 9 points of how to understand what the tawheed, the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inside his tafsir. How to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To firstly, to study al-asma wa sifat lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. To study the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most strongest ways of knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That you know his names and his attributes. Now, many of us, we study names and attributes, it becomes a tertiary reading. To defame people, to derail people. The real essence of studying the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names and attributes. Implore upon Allah. Ask Allah by these beautiful names and attributes. Ask Him. Make dua to Him. So these names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more that you know the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more stronger your bond, your relationship becomes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Then why does Allah mention seek forgiveness for your sins? If you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you need to seek forgiveness for your sins? Because many ulama, Ibn Taymiyyah and other ulama, they highlighted that no matter what peak you reach inside your life, what peak you reach inside your life, you are still going to be a sinful individual. أَنْتَ قَاسِرْ فِي حَقِّ اللَّهِ. You're deficient in fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you don't sin in major sins, we are all deficient. That's why after salah we say astaghfirullah 3 times. Why? There's deficiency. There's corruption. There's negligence. We're never going to reach that peak. But Allah just wants us to make that effort and to recognize that in our deficiency that I'm still trying my best. That's what Allah wants to see. That this servant of mine is trying his best. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And seek forgiveness for the brethren around you. Don't shun people away. Don't shun them away. Make dua for people around you. That Allah guide them, rectify their affairs. Make them become good Muslims, good people. That's why you find that the person who hears the message becomes more stronger and understand that message than the one who initially conveyed the message. Is a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That's why you find that just convey the message. That someone may hear that message and take it more strongly than us inside our lives and become more committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then his main source of his knowledge, Allah mentions, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Why don't they ponder over the Qur'an? That's the main source of understanding everything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is تَدَبَّرُ الْقُرْآنَ كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. كِتَابٌ مُبَارَكٌ. This is a blessed book that we set down upon you. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. You may ponder and reflect over these ayat. Imam al-Hasan Basri mentioned, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا بِمَعْنَى لِيُطَبِّقُوا آيَاتِهِ. That you implement the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَلَا يَتَدَّبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Allah didn't say on their hearts is just one shackle, one chain, one padlock on there. Allah said, أَقْفَالُوا, many chains, many shackles are placed upon the person who doesn't reflect over the Qur'an, who doesn't live with the Qur'an on a daily basis. There's got more and more. The heart, it becomes, كَلَّا بَلْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ رَانٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. This ran, this dust, this filth that comes upon their hearts. That's why you find a person who misses 3 Jumu'at, 3 Jumu'ahs in a row, consecutively, without any other, without no excuse, is not sick. It's not traveling. What happens to that individual? Allah seals that person's heart. Seals their heart. That's why inside this surah Allah mentioned, تَبَّ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah has imprinted on their hearts, stamped on their hearts. And that's a sad state of affair, that someone's heart becomes stamped, becomes sealed, that nothing trickles into their heart. Everything about life is there, but the heart is lost. That's why these akfal were to break these shackles, these padlocks. There's many padlocks in all of our hearts. The padlocks of desires, whims, the dunya, the world, family, whatever it may be. All of these are shackles that come over our heart and our mind, that enshroud us, that cover us, that blur our image, blur our life, where we want to head towards. And that's a continuous struggle that we need to break inside our lives. And then Allah mentioned that those people who despise what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. And we mentioned that there are some Muslims, as we began with, who despise what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing wrong with saying that this is something hard. That's all of us human beings. To get up for Fajr, let's not beat about the bush. To get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and a summer's day, it's not easy. And then to pray Isha at 11 o'clock at night, then to fast for 14, 15, up to 17 hours in a day, it's not easy. But a person doesn't despise it. A person acknowledges that this is something hard to do. But when a person questions it and wants to question, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to do this? That's what ulama spoke about, different examples. For example, a person who commits a sin. For example, a person, may Allah forbid, commits zina inside their life. And you ask that question, why do you commit zina? Lust, desires, environment around me got the better of me. Who are our sin? He's a person who's a disobedient individual. Amma, the person who never committed zina in their life. Rakizu la hadha. Never ever committed zina inside their life. Never committed it. Said, what's wrong with committing zina? One who asked that question, that why are we not allowed to do it? What's wrong with doing it? But never does it in their life. Never done it in their life. But simply says that. Why is it haram? Why is it forbidden? There's nothing wrong with doing it. I don't want to do it. That person will leave the fold of Islam. In comparison to the person who may do it. And acknowledge all of us have that weakness, have desires, have temptation, whatever it may be inside our lives. That's how accurate the Sharia is. And that's the onslaught we're facing at the moment, that Muslims are posing these questions inside our society. Why is this inside the Quran? Why is it like that? The feminism preaching at the moment, Muslim women are saying that. Liberal rights, my free rights, we're equal. How are men equal to women? The Quran says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The Quran says that the man is not equal to the woman. And all those feministic books that they read, printed from the 1960s that we find, all those women who wrote those books, when they wrote a new version of the books 20 years later, they said we were wrong. They said, I mourn over not having children in my life. The leaders of feministic movement, they said, I mourn that I never had children in my life. I never had a family. I never had a unit. They're the same women that in the 1963, 64, 67, who wrote these books, that created this feministic movement that we're facing today at the moment, 60, 70 years later that we find. They say that we feel regret, we were remorseful. So they themselves say that to take care of the home, to fend for the home, to look after the home, this is the natural role of the women, of the woman. Studies have been done that those engrossed inside their work, inside their career, something like 55 or 60% of them are unhappy with their lives. They're unhappy that these are not our statistics. There's not Muslim clerics preaching. This is their own research that they've concluded that these women are not happy in their lives because they're missing the family unit. They're missing children. They're missing raising children, having children. It's a natural sunnah that Allah's placed inside there. There's a concept of equality in Islam that means each have their own roles. The roles don't overlap. The roles don't overlap. They're separate entities, separate roles. Each has their own reward given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّمْ كَرِهُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That's because they despise that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. The believers say that if only, or they said, make the statement, that if only a surah had been sent down. Ulama said either this surah, Surah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or any ayat speaking about what? فَإِذَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ مُحْكَمَةٌ وَذُكْرِيَ فِيهَا الْقِتَالِ. As we began with, the Quran is categorically clear. If an ayah comes down, a verse comes down, and the word, the verb, or the usage of qital is mentioned inside there, رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يَنظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ نَظْرَ الْمَغْشِيِّ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. They look at you as if death has appeared in front of them. Just like some Muslims today, Just as we began with, if you mention qital, as if death has appeared in front of them. How can qital exist inside the Quran? This is a medieval practice. This is abrogated. This doesn't exist anymore. We shouldn't speak about this. It's the 21st century. It's the modern world. These are ayat which are mansukha, which are abrogated from previously. They don't apply today anymore. This is the same concept. The Quran, it stays for all time. It stays for all people. But because we don't understand the Quran, the language of the Quran, نظر المغشي عليهم الموت فأولى لهم. Then Allah mentioned, ولنبلونكم حتى نعلم المجاهدين منكم والصابرين ونبلو أخباركم. We're going to test you, see who amongst you are patient, those who strive, and we're going to disclose your hidden affairs. We're going to bring it out. That's why inside this surah is nothing but speak about these disbelieving individuals or the hypocrites. Look at the amount of punishment inside this surah. Some 12 different references. أضل أعمالهم فتعسى لهم وأضل أعمالهم دمر الله عليهم وأن الكافرين لا مولى لهم وأن النار مثوى لهم طبع الله على قلوبهم لعنهم الله فأحبط أعمالهم فلن يغفر الله لهم. Look how many times in this surah of 38 verses, how Allah continuously speaks about these kuffar, these disbelieving individuals, these hypocritical individuals who are fighting against the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Even more humiliation. Then Allah mentioned, كَمَنْ هُوَ خَالِدٌ فِي النَّارِ وَسُقُوا مَاءً حَمِيمًا فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاءَهُمْ. Then we pour down upon this boiling water that's given to these individuals, and it burns, it rips open their intestines. Is a punishment given to this individual. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Allah highlights, makes them deaf and dumb, these individuals. Then again Allah mentions, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وَجُوهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. How will it be when the death comes upon these individuals? And the angel will be smiting their backs and their faces, taking them, returning them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that this penetration of the world around us has penetrated many of us Muslims, that life is just play and amusement and enjoying ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to mention about how this life becomes pomp and play and amusement. But prior to that, we need to highlight the concept is mentioned that if certain verses exist inside the Quran, or a certain call is given, or a certain encouragement is given, why do some of us Muslims inside our Muslim society find it offensive inside our lives? Or quickly try to, as we say, turn, flip the coin and say this is calling towards this type of preaching or this type of thought of Islam. Let's just say, for argument's sake, because we're just reading too much theoretical knowledge. That's what we're doing, academia. We don't have practicalities inside of life. If someone says something, right, there's no jihad on the face of the earth. There's no imam. There's no waliul amr. There's no khilafah. There's no this, there's no that. Tayyib, naqbal kull. We accept all of this. We accept all of this. There's no khalifa. There's no leader. There's no one imam. There's no unity. There's nothing. We accept all of this. So what does that mean now? Let us study us as human beings. The Quran says, wa'iddu law mastata'tu min quwwa wa min ribatil khayl. Quran says, وَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. وَعِدُّوا الْاِسْتِعْدَادِ يَأْتِي قَبْلَ الْفِعْلِ. Prepare yourselves. Where's that preparation? As we began with, passive nation we become. Passive people. So if people say we need to do this, oh, he must be like this type of Muslim. Because this is what they've instilled in our brain, in our mind. That any form of thought, of perception, of preparation, that's what we should be looking at. We've accepted all your scenarios that you have mentioned. Technically, we accept all of it. But that doesn't deny the fact that there needs to be some form of preparation, just like you prepare yourself spiritually inside your life. You need to prepare yourself exactly how the Prophet ﷺ, he told us to prepare ourselves. The Muslim is always prepared, is always equipped. Not this shallow understanding, we don't have this, we don't have that. What does it lead to? It leads to weakening. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُونَ. Indeed, this world is nothing but play and amusement. Read in the Quran how many times Allah mentions this. إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُونَ. Indeed, this world is but play and amusement. Another person says, غَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. This world has deceived them. And I don't want to have a rant about what's taking place at the moment. But you know, just to help us to understand, $222 billion has been spent. I'm not going to have a rant about what's right, what's wrong. But how much of that money, they've done a great service. And the future will tell how beneficial it's been. But it shows we have the money. We have the money. We have the capability, but you don't have the will. If $222 billion can be spent in creating something of la'ib wa lahu, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but it's a reality. That on the day of judgment, we're not going to be asked about these things.
If you want to entertain yourself in sports, as we all do, there's nothing wrong with it. But understand the greater picture of creating a generation. It's not just sports and games. That's not what the Prophet was about, just sports and games. Yes, it's a certain means of certain goodness that exists inside the world. But it's not the all end. It's not the all purpose. That certain things are created here. We think this must be what Islam is. And personally, it shows a great start. It shows who the enemies are. It clearly shows who the enemies are. That if somebody does want to do something good, or something good is being done, and it shows that why can't we take a stance? Why are we such weak, passive individuals? We live in this country, we follow their rules, their regulations, so they should equally follow our rules and regulations when they come to our environment. Why should we become passive individuals, weak individuals? Just like they want to stand up for a cause when they go there, we should stand up for our cause. We don't believe in the things that you're instilling inside our family, in our children, and in our minds. We don't believe in these things. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. You have your own way of life. You have your own way of life. And as we find in numerous passages inside the Quran, and Allah then describes, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامِ. Allah describes people just worried about the dunya. It's so derogatory inside the Quran. They just eat and drink. And you find that these individuals, وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامِ. Allah describes they eat just like cattle eat. You know, it's so derogatory. You know, Allah mentions in the Quran, Surah Rum, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know everything about this world. They're so unique, accurate about this world. But what is it they lack? وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They're heedless. The end of these individuals, may Allah forbid, what is it going to be? That's what Allah mentioned, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. So many people are going to go to Jahannam. From amongst the jinn and the human beings. They have the eyes to see, they have the ears to hear, they have the heart to comprehend and the mind to understand. But no, they're derailed away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find in conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that Wallahu al-ghaniyyu wa antumul fuqara. That Allah is all rich. Wa antumul fuqara. We're impoverished, we're in need of Allah. We should never become full of ourselves. Oh, I'm a good Muslim, I do this, I've done that inside my life. Wallahu al-ghani. Allah is rich. Doesn't need our ibadah. Doesn't need us. That's what Imam Sa'd in his tafsir mentioned, that fi kulli halat, in all of our stations, all we're in a state of faqr. We're in a state of need. That's why another place in Surah Fatir, Allah mentioned, ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyul hamid. Allah in Surah Fatir, 35th chapter, Allah says, addresses the mankind, says all of mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. All of you are poor. You're poor in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyul hamid. Allah is all rich, self-sufficient, has no need. The one who deserves all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah then in the end mentions, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِ الْقَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you turn away, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a new people about. You know, this is our problem as a Muslim society. We're so full of ourselves. We think that we're so chosen, we're so special. But sunnatullahi al-ard, see how different generations, different people, different continents, different tribes, different nations, how they begin to come towards Islam. That if you turn away, Allah will bring a new people. That's why many of the works of Tafsir, it speaks about that when its ayah was sent down, the companions asked, what does it mean? Are we not there as companions? Are we not there? And the Prophet he put his hand on the shoulder of Salman al-Farisi. And he said, this is what it's referring to. That as you turn away, that there's going to be other people. There's going to be other people who are going to reignite this faith. Reignite this conviction towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah mentions Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, man yartadda minkum an deenihi. Whoever amongst you turns away from his deen, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah will bring a new people. That they will love Allah and Allah will love them. And then the characteristics, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. They're going to be humble, graceful towards the believers. Stern and harsh when it concerns the disbelieving individuals. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They're going to strive and struggle throughout their lives. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They don't worry about the blame of the people going to blame them. And just a disclaimer, we're not here trying to create an atmosphere or go and rebel and fight against people and do this and do that. That's not what the intent here is. It's to instill inside our minds, in the back of our minds, that Islam is a great big flame. Don't just take certain strands of the flame and just hold that in your life and say, this is the only element of Islam. It's a great big flame, a burning flame, that we need to understand the power of Islam and how it spreads and how it needs to spread and how the effort we need to make to keep that light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreading upon the face of this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to live true to the words of the Quran and then the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.